Chapter 1 Stormbringer.
We rose up from our knees, Selene said. Dawn cresting the world's edge, black skies running to red. The tiny mote of us still with Dior was down in the dungeons of Dunmere again now, locked with her in her tiny cell. We beat frail wings upon her broken cheek, trying to rouse her, assure her that we were coming to save her. But she was still unconscious from Isla's brutal beating, her skin cold to the touch. And so the rest of me, outside those walls, sliced open our palms, bringing forth our blade, slender and sharp as broken bone, our flail long and gleaming red. The scent of blood stained the air as I clenched our teeth and set our eyes upon the wretches we were set to slaughter. Gabriel lifted the Monet, filling his goblet to the brim. Though it was his fifth bottle of the night, the Silver Saint seemed sharp, keen, eyes alight with memory.
I'd fought in castle assaults before, Coldblood, he said. Dozens of them. I knew the hell that lay before us, wading knee-deep through innocent blood, carving through a flood of wretched, under fire the whole time from Nikita's highbloods on the inner walls. Either way, the scales tipped, this was going to be a massacre. I didn't know how to ask, didn't know if I even had a right to after I'd hurt her in the cradle, knowing only that I'd need every edge that I could get in the battle to come. But as I turned to Phoebe, my mouth dry as ash, she'd already unbuckled the vambrace about her forearm, golden eyes locked on mine. Phoebe, I wouldn't ask if...
Nae need to ask. It's mine, to give to whom I choose.
She touched my face then, and though she spoke of blood, I knew she meant more besides.
I choose ye.
I took her hand, conscious of the eyes now upon us, the soft growls and muttered curses. Bryn loomed behind us, scowling as she watched on, big paws twitching. But though we stood in an ocean of tooth and claw, blade and blood, it seemed for a moment we were completely alone, as we'd been that night we danced in the White Rabbit. Eyes on Phoebe's, I lifted her wrist to my lips, and she smiled as I kissed her skin, feather soft. But her smile faded, her lips parting as my own peeled back and I sank my fangs into her vein. Her blood washed over me, through me, that flood of heat and earth and flame I'd felt in the mother's cradle, once more rushing out from my belly and into every part of me. Every muscle gone taut, every nerve afire, the strength of mountains and the rush of rivers and the might in the bones of this corrupted earth all within me. I swallowed deep, deeper, that thirst inside me roaring, needing, pleading, just one more mouthful, just one more drop. But I pushed it back, not yet its thrall, roaring, enough! And shuddering crown to toe, I released my grip, drawing back from Phoebe's wrist and kissing the punctures in her skin. She was staring at me, her breath quickened, her hand shaking in mine. And she kissed me then, beneath those thundering skies, amid that song of pipes and the scent of slaughter to come. Her blood was still on my mouth, her talons snaking into my hair as she drew me closer, deeper, and I threw my arms around her and crushed her body to mine. She'd told me that we don't get broken, but that we're made so. And we were wounded, the pair of us, sure and true. Both still bleeding from the wounds life had carved in us, the loved ones torn away from us. Honestly, I still feared my hurts would never be mended entire. But as I held that woman in my arms, I knew she'd spoken truth, that if we're blessed, we might find someone whose edges fit against our own, like pieces of the same puzzle or shards of the same broken sword. Someone who, in their own broken way, makes our brokenness whole, and our shattered edge complete. I knew full well this might be the last time her lips touched mine. A kiss to remember and be remembered by. We'd had too little time, and now, we might be at the finish of it. And as we parted, all too soon, she spoke, ruby-red lips curling.
I don't love you, Gabrielle de Leon.
I kissed her knuckles, one at a time.
I don't love you too.
She laughed then, eyes feral and bright with battle lust.
See you in the dun.
Turning, Phoebe stepped forward, raising her voice above the thunder.
Brothers and sisters of the moon's throne, we of the clan stand here, united, one mind, one will, as has ne been seen since the nights of Aelie the Stormbringer. Beyond those walls wait the thieves who have stolen our sacred blood and pillaged our hallowed homeland. Curs and liars, oath-breakers and traitors.
Death to Divok, someone bellowed.
Death, came the cry down the line. Death!
Nay,
Phoebe roared above the clamour.
Nay, hear me now.
The tumult quieted then, bubbling just under a boil.
We are right to seek our vengeance, Phoebe called. But beyond those walls lies the salvation of this world, the end to day's death, the godling true. We fight today, nay for the crimes of the past, but the hope of the future. So if we must fall, let it be for the sake of those bairns unborn, those days undawned that the godling shall bring soon to pass. And if ye must roar, let it be what we fight for. Let our foes tremble at the sound of her name.
Phoebe bared her teeth, pointing toward the broken walls.
Dior! Dior!
Came the cry down the line.
Dior!
A thousand voices roaring as one, louder than the thunder above. Selene held her blade aloft, roaring the Grail's name, and I too found myself caught up in Phoebe's spell, dragging Ashdrinker from her scabbard and holding her up to the storm. The folk of the Moon's Throne had always spoken of the day Aelie the Bold would be reborn, the queen who had united the Highland clans and made all the heavens tremble. And looking at Phoebe as she screamed to the skies, golden eyes and flaming hair and talons sharp as blades, I wondered if there might be some truth in prophecy.
She is beautiful, Gabrielle, came a silver whisper in my head.
She is.
What is her name?
Stormbringer, I smiled. Phoebe set her eyes on the walls, lips curled back from her teeth.
For the godling!
The roar that echoed down the line was enough to shake the heavens above, and our charge began, trembling the earth below. Thousands of us, soldiers of the Highlands, moon's maidens of the cradle, Earthwill, Leofwill, Velfwill, pipes singing and blades flashing and claws curling as we hit that first fucking ditch. Jean-Francois raised an eyebrow, glancing up.
Ditch?
The last Silver Saint nodded, swallowing a long mouthful of wine.
Ditch, he repeated.
You mean a moat around the walls, or...
I mean a ditch, Coldblood.
A simple hole in the ground. Dunmergen was the mightiest fortress west of Augustin, but it's not like its walls towered 100 feet high, or that they were wrought from the bones of a dead god or some other bollocks from a child's tale.
Most fortresses aren't anything fancy. They're just a ditch surrounding a palisade. And the bigger the fortress, the more oft that pattern repeats. Ditch, pre-wall, a deeper ditch, a bigger wall. This shit isn't fancy, but it works. Ditches break a charge's momentum, make the soldiers in it stumble. Ditches mean you can't bring siege weapons close enough to the walls without coming under fire while you set them up.
I read somewhere that Dunmergen was only around 3 square miles in size, but it had over 30 miles of wall protecting it. The reason the Divok were so successful at siege warfare was that once they were wild on dancer blood, the bastards could hurl boulders at the defenders out of range of the defences. That's why the walls of Newton were such a shambles.
Nikita and his blood lords had smashed up the pre-walls and hurled them at the battlements till the soldiers manning them were pulped. Then he repaired them best he could once he took the city. But we didn't have siege weapons, Coldblood. We didn't have troop towers. We had brute strength and feral swiftness. Magics daubed in moon's blood, storm winds at our back, and about 500 yards of broken stone, ditches, and artillery fire before we reached the walls of Newton properly. And into that hell, we charged. The cannon fire came first. Most of Neve's heavy artillery had been destroyed when Nikita took the city, but a few of the bigger bitches still barked, booming and spitting fire along the wall. They'd been loaded with pepper shot. You know what that is? Jean-Francois opened his mouth to reply, but Gabriel rolled on as soon as he'd stolen another mouthful of wine. Anti-infantry, designed to inflict carnage among ground troops. Phoebe had told me only silver or old age would slay a Dusk Dancer, but I figured dismemberment or decapitation would serve just fine. And as the shots began hitting, I saw the damage they were doing. Arms torn from chests, legs from hips, bellies busted open and spattered across the snow. I kept running, ditch to wall to ditch, aflame with the fire of Phoebe's blood. Hunkering down beside a shattered battlement, I roared over the cannon's thunder. Take cover on the fire! Charge while they reload! Phoebe was beside me, her cheeks split and bleeding. I saw Big Keelan crouching down ahead, Bryn just behind, the Urfwill gouging shrapnel from her shoulder with her talons. The cannon roared again, snow flying, earth shaking, the sound of metal splitting stone near deafening. But whoever was commanding the cannon was green, opening up with another volley while most of us had gone to ground. That's the problem with feeding enemy capitaines to your troops, Vampire. If Nikita had kept a few more of Neve's commanders alive, somebody up on those walls might have known what the fuck they were doing. The guns fell silent to reload, and we charged again, blinding snow and rising smoke. Phoebe ran hard beside me, but I'd lost sight of Selene, diving low as the cannon opened up again. We were off and moving swift right after, drawing ever closer to the battlements, the dark figures shouting atop them. But as soon as we got near enough, they unleashed their trebuchet, their ballista, stones and bolts raining down all around us, staggered enough that there was no safe window to charge anymore. I saw Keelan almost crushed, the big Leofwil diving aside with only a second to spare as a ton of stone came crashing down on his cover. Angus Abaran had been hit by something vicious. The wolf was covered waist down in blood. I could taste black ignis on the air, thunder shaking the ground as the trebuchet and cannon spewed death down our line. Boom. Boom. We ran on. No choice. Hell and blood ahead. But worse backward than forward. Up and off, smoke and stench, thunder and snow. Phoebe's blood willing me on, lifting me up, bidding me run, on through that meat grinder toward the men I must kill. I was trying to spot Baptiste among those silhouettes atop the walls, hoping if I reached him first, I might somehow spare him the fates every other poor bastard up there would suffer once we reached the top. Because, despite all they threw at us, we were coming. Gabriel shook his head, quaffing his goblet. God help them, we were coming fast.
May I speak now?
The last Silver Saint glanced up, his face ice cold as he regarded his sister. Selene stared back at her sibling, sharp teeth locked behind that silver cage on her jaw. Must you?
We are certain you would prefer we sit in silent awe as the mighty Black Lion.
We? Gabriel scoffed, glancing to the historian. Did she tell you what that actually means, Justin? Did this fucking snake tell you who she's got?
But I was present also that day, Selene spat, and I sit silent for none.
Let her speak, Gabriel, Jean-Francois murmured. Entertaining as it is, I did not bring you here to watch you spit venom.
In every breath a lie. Gabriel refilled his cup, sighing. But, as it please you.
Selene narrowed dark eyes, looking deep into the waters of memory.
We moved swifter than my brother and his heathens, dashing ditch to wall to ditch again. Dead man's clothes on our back, dead men ahead trying to kill us. We were close enough now that the crossbow fire began, burning bolts whispering past our cheeks. A stone crashed down but a few inches to our left. Cannon fire peppered our body, but then we were home, hitting the rubble at the base of the Newton wall and leaping upward, crack to crack, an arrow speeding toward heaven. Our flails snaked around the battlements above, our boots kicking hard until we were running vertical up the wall. We heard cries of alarm, skipping aside blazing crossbow bolts, the men above screaming. But we saw it then, and if the heart in our dead chest still beat, it would have seized in terror as they dragged it up and made to tip it over, a trough filled to brimming with burning coals. Fear froze me, the memory of those awful flames at Kernheim. I cried out, hand up to our face, trying to twist aside from that blistering shower. We felt the heat, smelled the smoke, imagined the agony. But then we heard a cry, meat striking stone, and the figures hefting those coals fell away, their trough tumbling back with them. We hit the battlements, flinging ourselves over into a tumult of men so close we could smell the reek of fresh liquor on their breath. But as we raised our blade, ready to split all around us asunder, we heard a voice we recognized, ragged with fear. In Dio's name, no!
Joaquin, we whispered.
The hound boy stood with a dozen others, pale and frightened and splashed with blood. They'd attacked the men with the coals, holding them down, forcing them to drink from a flask of what we realized was Ocean Black. The liquor stank of rotten cabbage and tomcat spray, enough to make our eyes water if there'd been a drop of water inside us. But as we looked up and down the battlements, we saw the same refrain, scorched being brought down by their comrades, forced to drink, cursing and spitting. What madness is this? We whispered. Joaquin hefted his own hip flask. The stopper loosed. It was empty now, but our skin still tingled at the wondrous scent lingering inside. Dior's blood, we realized, remembering her bleeding foot. She filled that for you in the stable this morning, after she sent me away. The boy nodded, pale and grim. I poured it all into the morning liquor ration before they sent me to the wall, just like she told me to. The black's reek covered the scent of her blood. He nodded again, helping the man he'd knocked down back up to his feet. The cannon had fallen silent, the trebuchet gone still. All along the wall, those few who hadn't quieted their fears with a dram before battle were being forced to now, held down by their comrades and made to swallow Dior's holy blood in the brew. And we thanked God then for the frailty and courage of mortal men. The dancers hit the wall, Gabriel and his flesh witch among them. But we climbed atop the battlements, screaming, "Hold, hold," praying God they would heed.
Gabriel nodded, eyes alight as he took up the tale once more. I was one of the first over, clawing my way up the wall with my bare hands. But as I hit the battlements, I heard Selene crying out, and as I raised Ashdrinker, she roared too, "Stop, you shitwit, stop!" All along the high walk I saw it now, free men and women breaking the last few bonds of servitude among the scorched.
The holy blood of the Redeemer, secreted within a keg of homebrew Ocean piss by a girl who'd been on the grift in the gutter long before she'd taken on the mantle of saviour of the world. Gabriel shook his head and smiled. Cunning little bitch.
How did she know? Jean-Francois asked, lifting his eyes. How could she possibly know enough thralls would drink before they fought?
The last Silver Saint chuckled then, spoken like someone who's never seen battle.
But wouldn't fighting men want to be at their keenest when the battle is thickest?
Jean-Francois demanded.
When they have the most to lose.
That's precisely why they drink, vampire, Gabriel replied. A soldier will take comfort in prayer, in thoughts of famille, in the love of his brothers.
But there's nothing like a dram of courage to hold you steady when the screaming starts.
The vampire smiled, shaking his head.
Just as you told Dio at Avelaine.
The last Silver Saint raised his goblet. She was always a quick study, that girl.
The heathens climbed over the battlements, Selene said, ready to tear all to pieces. But Gabriel's voice joined my own, Phoebe now crying out too, and all along the broken walls of Newton, not a thrall sword raised a blade to fight. Keelan bellowed, "Stay your hands," and the word spread. The animals poised. But a moment ago to wreak bloody carnage now, confronted not by foes, but by welcomes, by blessings, by smiling faces and pleas for forgiveness. A legion of men and women dragged down into darkness, now awakened by the gift of one lone girl. A gift they had not even known to pray for. The gift of freedom.
Gabriel smiled, and they shared a glance then, these siblings who so loathed each other. And though her teeth were hidden, it seemed Selene smiled also, eyes shining in memory of that small victory upon those shattered walls.
I heard a shout, the Silver Saint said, calling my name.
Ash sang in my head then, Black Thumb, oh sweet Black Thumb.
And there he was, charging through the mob of scorched, the bewildered dusk dancers, his smile bright as the sun had once been. Baptiste, I roared. Little lion, he cried, crashing into my arms.
And though I dared not hug him tight for fear of killing him, God, he near crushed the breath from my lungs, lifting me off my feet. Tears burned in my eyes as I wrapped my arms around my old friend, his big shoulders shaking with half-sobs. I could only imagine the horrors he'd endured these past nights, but at least we'd been spared the horror of fighting each other. And as my old brother set me on the stone, I looked to heaven above and breathed quiet thanks to God for the first time in as long as I could remember.
I thought I'd never see you again, Gabe, he whispered, pawing his eyes.
No such luck, I'm afraid, I grinned.
Baptiste looked to the battlements around us, Phoebe beside me, the legion of dancers arrayed upon the walls.
All this for me. You shouldn't have, mon ami.
We laughed, but it was brief, our eyes turning now to Newton. Shapes were slinking from the ruins below, rotten and wasted, hungry and hissing. An army of dead flesh, starved of blood, thousands of hollow eyes now fixed upon us.
Gabe, Baptiste murmured. Aaron, he's...
I know, brother.
I squeezed his shoulder. I'm going to get him back, I swear it.
No.
Baptiste hefted a heavy maul in his hands, eyes on the sea of teeth below, the walls of Oltun beyond where his beloved waited.
I'm going to get him back.
I shook my head.
Aaron belongs to Nikita now. The only way to save him, he was mine long before he was the Black Hats.
The big man squared his shoulders, patting his maul on his palm.
Love conquers all, Gabriel.
I clenched my jaw, wanting to steer him off, knowing he'd never listen. Baptiste and Aaron had given up everything to be together. I'd seen the love each bore for the other, standing side by side at the Battle of the Twins, the Forever King's endless legion not even enough to part them. I'd have been a fool to think Nikita's army would fare any better.
All right,
I muttered. You just stick close to me, you hear? My old friend smiled, hefting his maul. You just try to keep up.
See here, son, came the roar.
I looked down the wall, saw a bloodied Brynn amid a pack of Moon's Maidens. The big Urfwill stood atop the broken stone, black Slayer braids whipping in the storm wind as she pointed to the shadows gathering on the battlements of Auldtun.
What are we waiting for? A gilded invitation?
I glanced to the young fellow beside Selen, dark of hair and eye. His hands were unsteady as he drew his sword, and from his grip I knew he was green as grass. Looking around the walls, among the hardened swords, I saw others just as fresh, just as frightened. What's your name, monsieur? I asked him.
Joaquin Maren.
Well, Joaquin Maren, this world owes you a debt, but I think you've done enough to square the ledger this day. I looked to the wretched swarming below, the men and women newly freed on the walls around us, calling above the thunder.
You folk have walked through hell and darkness, but no command bids you fight here, nor any promise binds you to stay. There is no shame in living to fight another day.
But Joaquin shook his head then, calling to his fellows. I'll not stand aside while the girl who freed me is captive still. I will spill my blood for she who gave the same for me. Dior La Chance risked all to save us, and I say shame to any here who'll risk no less.
Shouts of agreement rang across the walls, Joaquin holding his sword high.
For the Grail, maiden, la demoiselle du Graal.
The Grail, came the roar, Highlanders and Scorched both. The Grail.
Fine speech,
Ash whispered.
Not bad, I agreed.
Better than yours.
I don't speech, I growled.
Phoebe stood beside me, blood spilling from a cut in her cheek, eyes on the walls beyond. The vampires were gathered now, wretched and high blood, and there'd be no last-minute miracle here. Every inch of ground would be bought with blood, every step a war.
How are you feeling? I asked softly.
Ready, she replied. I turned to Brynn, gave her a nod. I held my broken blade to the sky.
For Dior!
And as one, we charged down into hell.